Welcome to Hope is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and always love a great comeback story, somebody that's overcome a lot of adversity. And man, you're just going to hear the tip of the iceberg today and tomorrow over a local guy here in Kentucky that I had the privilege of working with at Northeast Christian Church. And he just recently wrote his book, just telling his story, called The Prodigal Son, The Addict, a true story of one man's fall from grace and his journey back from addiction. And we all know somebody that's suffered from addiction, whether it's a family member, a loved one, a coworker, a neighbor, and yet there's always hope because of Jesus. And join us to share part of his story today and tomorrow is the author of that wonderful book I just shared, Tom Carr. Joining us from Beech Grove in Western Kentucky is that author, Tom Carr. Tom, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, man, and congratulations. I see that it's going to be 20 years in September for the anniversary of your sobriety, so congratulations, man.
Thank you.
So proud of you. You know, Tom, addiction obviously is the focus of your book, and yet the thing I think that a lot of people will find interesting, you were actually born and raised in a Christian household, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Brought up by, my parents were Southern Baptists and raised us in a good Christian home. And we were, I always say I was at the church every time the doors were open. We were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Any occasion there was to be at church, we were there. And as a child, it was, it seemed like it was a lot. But looking back on it, it was, it was the foundation that they built for us as a, family and kids that, that I eventually, looked back to.
Well, and I'm so glad that you shared that in your book and here on the radio, because I know there's parents right now are wondering what they did wrong, and yet if they planted those seeds of harvest of pointing people towards Jesus like Tom's life, there's always hope. And you went to Bryan Station High School, and then you dropped out in 11th grade because you really liked working in the construction business, right?
Correct. My dad was a home builder, and this just wasn't for me. School just wasn't for me. So I was just, I wanted to go on out and, break out into my own life. But, Dad said, if you're not going to school, you're going to work. And I think he tried to scare me a little bit and, put me to work doing the grunt work. But it kind of backfired on him because I loved it. And needless to say, I didn't go back to school. I just, I continued to work in construction for probably 32 years after that.
Well, you winded up, you're working, you like construction, you're making a little money, you got married, and unfortunately that didn't work, and ended in divorce, and that's kind of when the party life started around the age 18, is that right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was up until, the first marriage, about that time. Of course, I was working in construction, and family was in the building business, so that afforded me the opportunity to build my own house, and that was my first house that I ever built. Marriage didn't last too long. We were young and dumb, after the divorce, it kind of led to a little partying here and there on the side, and still working, partying daytime, weekends, but still working during the day. It just kind of snowballed gradually. You don't see it coming. It just, it builds and builds over the years, and I was able to continue working. But, at the same time, I was, I didn't see it at the time, but I was depressed a lot. I guess, from the failed marriage and stuff, really didn't show it on the outside, but on the inside, it was, it was eating at me. And the drugs and the alcohol and were just a way to cover that up, help cover that up.
And that's, I guess, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Tom, that, I'd heard one time that, any addiction, whether it's drugs and alcohol, pornography, gambling, running up credit cards is kind of an addiction or a substitute for God. And Have you found that just from, I'm sure you've been able to help a lot of people since you've been sober now almost 20 years and all. Have you found that a lot of reasons that people get into addiction, it's not intentional, but it's something that just sometimes helps to cover the pain and heartache in people's lives?
Absolutely. That's what I was doing. I didn't see it at the time. It was just, I was covering it up. It helped me to go on, you know, it helped me to want to wake up the next day because, you know, I had, you know, something fun to look forward to or exciting versus the sitting around and thinking about it all the time. So it kind of helped put that off to the side, and the partying was, you know, with what kind of kept it going.
Well, and I know that, you know, like I said, you were able to function there for a while. You were still going to work and things, and then that led to another marriage, but the parting still kind of continued. Is that correct?
Correct. It was, I guess that, you know, the next marriage was basically based on partying. I met her at a party. We partied, we continued to party, that was the lifestyle, but that marriage eventually ended probably because of the partying. That's, you don't trust one another because, you know, one thing leads to another. I guess when you're doing something, you just expect that your spouse or the person you're with is probably doing the same thing, and it's just it's not a lifestyle that a good marriage is founded on.
I want to go back just a second, Tom. One of the things I really liked and, you know, appreciated your honesty as a man. A lot of times we kind of try to hide things, but on page 37 of your book, you talked about what you kind of mentioned just a little bit earlier in our conversation, but you said, you know, I was going to try to promise to turn over a new leaf, and I was making promises I had no idea how to keep. I knew deep down there was a better man inside of me somewhere. I just couldn't find him anymore, and I didn't even know that I was depressed. And, you know, I loved how you described depression. You said it's a state of mind that you're in, the battle within your head that tells you that you are fine. You just need to do some things a little differently to convince yourself everything will be all right. But at the same time, you also know that it's not going to be all right. Talk a little bit about that, because I know there's people listening today. They're like, oh, my goodness, man, that Tom just described, that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, it is a battle. It's, you know, like you say, you're fighting with your inside. I mean, I was raised in the better. I was raised to know better than that, so I knew better. But I turned and went a different direction on my own, and, you know, as long as I was, you know, the longer I would seek that, the further I would get from what I knew was right. And with the marriage is failing and the depression setting in, and it's, you know, it's something that I told my second wife, you know, this is not who I am. This is not who I'm supposed to be. You know, give me another chance, because, you know, we can hopefully find the person that I know that I can be. It's just, but, you know, it never, you make promises and then you turn around and you go right back to the same lifestyle. It's easy to just fall right back into it than it is to go forward, especially when you haven't dealt with the problem at hand, when you just kind of cover it up and push a little dirt over it and keep going. You know, it's going to come back and at some point and find you. And I just never dealt with it for a long time.
Well, I just think that's so important for somebody to hear today, that, you know, there may be some outward things, obviously, with addiction issues, but a lot of times the root is something inside, and just encourage you to ask out for help and just let somebody know what's going on in the inside to get that healing process started. But you shared in your book that, you know, you're doing cocaine, opioids, and then the dreaded oxytocin. Talk a little bit about that, man, and just how that kind of grabbed hold of you.
Yeah, that was, like I said, over the years, I'd smoked the weed, I did, you know, some some uppers, downers, whatever it took to go along the way. But even the cocaine. The cocaine is not that hard to do and still live a normal lifestyle. But when the Oxycontin came along, the opioids, that is what grabbed a hold of me and would not let go. It was a whole different world. I could not control it. It was just something that I had to have, and the need for it was, or the want and desire for it was greater than anything that was going to get me away from it. And I really believe half of every addiction is psychological. Half of it is your mind telling you you need this. The physical part of it, the actual chemical part, is you can get off that easy, but if you don't get rid of the psychological part, then your mind will keep telling you, oh, it's okay, you can do this. You just need a little bit, just get a little bit more, you'll be fine, then you'll be able to, get back to work, but it just keeps snowballing.
Well, eventually, like a lot of people in addiction, not only were you using, you also started selling. And talk about that and how, unfortunately, that resulted in getting in trouble with law enforcement.
Correct. That was with the opioid in the full-blown stage at that period was, it was like just taking over people. And what do they call them, the pill clinics, and all the people that were going to get the pain clinics and stuff. Doctors were writing prescriptions left and right to people, and people were just eating it up. And then eventually they caught on to that, and it was like, okay, we're gonna kind of try to put a halt to all this. Well, then it started getting hard to get a hold of because you had so many people trying to get it. So that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to have the source to get some cocaine, so maybe I can get the cocaine and sell it to afford the pain pills. And then it got to where I was cooking up the cocaine, the powder, and making rock from it, what's known as crack. And that snowballed into just a full-blown craze in the area that I was in eastern Kentucky. They'd never seen anything like that, and it was a lot easier to get a hold of than the pain pills and other things. So, but it's highly addictive, and once it gets a hold of you, it doesn't let go. So, and I was, not only was I doing that as selling and trying to cover my own self, I was also using, which is that's a no-no. You don't want to use your own product, because then you're going to eventually find yourself where you're not making any money at all, and then the law's watching you because you're drawing a lot of attention to yourself. So the law's watching you, and eventually it led to my ultimate demise.
Just tuned in, we've been talking with Tom Carr. He's the author of a wonderful new book that he wrote called The Prodigal Son, The Addict, A True Story of One Man's Fall from Grace and His Journey Back from Addiction. Unfortunately, Tom's addiction and selling led to being arrested, but that's when everything actually changed for the better. So I hope if you've been blessed by this program, you'll share it with a friend, and you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue to hear Tom Carr's powerful story. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.